Thanks for coming out this morning. Thanks for this time that we can study the book of Psalms here. Let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our, continue with our theme, the victory psalms here. Thank you, Lord, that you have such great love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're our God. And thank you that we can find refuge in you. Just pray that you'll help us as we, again, open your word, look at the psalms here, that you will help us as we look at them to not only remember how you've helped us in the past, but know that you'll help us now and in the future. Just pray you'll bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Psalms. Starting off this morning with Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We left off last week and had a good week, I hope. But again, this week we're looking at the Psalms that point to victory in our lives. Key verse I have here is actually a section here of Psalm 61, verses 2 through 4. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed. Is your heart overwhelmed? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me. A strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. In looking at this section of verses, the rock is too high for David to climb himself. He needs God's help. Some actually think that the rock is actually God himself. David's the king, but God is higher, more powerful, more control. When I think of that rock that's higher than I think of having to look up, because it's up there, it's higher. And I think of all the different pictures that go through my mind of the rock. You know, I think of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and that was the salvation they had at that particular moment in time, to look to the serpent. And I think of the cross on the hill, how we can look to that cross high and lifted up. And so many other pictures throughout God's Word, and that we need to trust in Him. Trust in God. He's more powerful. He's more in control. And then it goes on, lead me. David needs to be led to God. And we need Him to lead us. A refuge, a place to which to flee from danger. We can find refuge in Him. A tower, the ultimate place of refuge in a fortress. You can see everything coming from all sides there in that tower. Tent or tabernacle, referencing to the tabernacle that they had in the wilderness. That's where they lived. To dwell, to sojourn. To live as a resident alien. Have you ever thought about that? That we're aliens? You know, we think about aliens coming to the United States, but yet we're aliens. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm not staying here. I've got my residence someplace else. I'm an alien. But yet, I live here. I need to point others to where I am. A shelter of God's wings, the protective presence of God. So, in these verses, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart's overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. So the theme, when my heart is overwhelmed, when God seems far away, we need to remember that we can find rest in Him, rest in His protection. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had a few quotes here that I thought were really pretty good quotes in reference to this chapter. Faith's greatest triumphs are achieved in her heaviest trials. You think about that. Those heavy trials, those trials that you're going through, when the Lord gets you through that trial, don't you feel like you've had a great triumph? You're on the victory side. The Lord's brought you through. and it's through your faith in Him. He who communes with God is always at home. Can you say that? When you commune with God, are you at home? Think about that when you open up that door today when you go home. You open up that door, you walk in, you're home. Is that what happens when you pray? Are you home? I love that thought. There should always be a parallel. Now, I'm a mathematician rather than Grant or Wayne. He's a scientist. I'm a mathematician. So I had to get this parallel in here. There should be a parallel between our supplications and our thanksgiving. When we pray, our supplications and our thanksgiving, we ought not to leap in prayer and limp in praise. You know, we go to God in prayer, praying for all the things we need, begging Him to help us in those times of need, but do we praise Him for all He's done? They should be the same. He's done so much for us. So, have you ever had a problem so big there's no way you can solve it? No way you can solve it. Well, they have this little, I found this little saying here. When faced with monumental challenges, psychologists predict people will react in one of two ways. I think this is probably right. You see, it's called the fight or flight response. They're wired to respond to adversity by either running away from it or fighting directly against it. And that's probably true. But yet, what happens when we have a problem? Are we trying to do it on our own? Are we trying to hide from it? What happens when neither choice is viable? Well, I don't think either choice is viable. We need to do what Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. We looked at last week, be still and know that I am God. Rest in Him. If you look at the actual chapter, it starts off with, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. So this is a prayer of David. He's telling him that, yes, I found shelter in you, you're a strong tower. But look at verse 4, I will abide in you. Or I will abide in your temple, tabernacle forever. Skip on down to verse 7. I shall abide before God forever. Verse 6, for you, O God, have heard my vows. Down verse 8, that I may daily perform my vows. I will sing His praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Are we singing His praise? Are we praising Him? Thoughts on Psalm chapter 61. There's a lot here. Thank Him for the protection He gives us. The rest. I don't know, do you think? Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
One of the metaphors that I really enjoy.
Yeah, we think we can do it on our own. We need to just put it all on Him. And that's the hard part, is to really learn how to put it to Him. But yeah, it's a great thought. I was talking with someone this morning, we've had opportunities where people have, been in hospitals and reading the Psalms, how it calms them. Does it calm you when you read the Psalms? I think so. I think this morning too, that when I read the Psalms, do some songs pop in your mind when you're reading the Psalm? This morning when I was reading this Psalm again, I thought the haven of rest. My soul in sad exile, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. It's the shelter of Him, And there's a lot of songs that may pop into your head too, but that's one that popped into my head this morning on this Psalm. Other thoughts? All right. Psalm 62. Just happens to be the next one here in our study here. Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6. My soul waited silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. Amen. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. Unshaken and unstirred. Can we say that about your faith? Is it unshaken? Is it unstirred? The outline here says, trusting God in spite of your enemies. Trusting God at all times. Trusting God. He is in control. Amen. Trust in Him. Psalm 62, if you look at verses 1, 2, 6, and 7, it talks about my salvation. A fourfold repetition signals the theme here in Psalm 62. God can be trusted to save and to deliver His people. Are we trusting Him? Or are we trying to do it on our own? You know, it drives me nuts because I try to do so much on my own instead of trusting Him. Salvation signifies the whole process of redemption, extending from vindication to the enjoyment of covenant privileges. From saving us from sin to enjoyment of the Christian life and all the blessings and privileges that He bestows on us. The Lord alone will save because He is faithful and able to deliver. He is faithful and able to deliver. Kay and I are remodeling our bathroom downstairs. I ordered a part online. It's holding up my tile guy. And I called the company and said, where's my part? Oh, I sent it. Amazon hasn't sent it to you. They got it on the 22nd. They were going to send it out on the 24th. Guess what? Snowstorm. 25th, snowstorm. They finally shipped it out on the 26th. I got it when they said I was supposed to get it because they always give themselves a few extra days. But, you know, they weren't able to deliver it when I wanted it delivered. God's not that way. He is able to deliver on time when it's needed. Now, granted, this is what I wanted. Now, my want and His wants are not the same. You know? Just like Amazon's aren't the same. But my ways need to be His ways. And yeah, I can pray to the Lord. I can ask Him. I can beg Him. I can praise Him for what He's done. But yet, He is going to deliver on time and in His purpose. We need to remember that. Verses 8 through 12. Trust in Him at all times. Oops, that's a tough one. Trust in Him at all times. Trust in man will fail. Trust in man will fail. Men are a vapor. Just like we're studying in Ecclesiastes. Vanity, emptiness, a breath. And then I thought of Wayne. From the science perspective. You know, what's a breath? What's a vapor? You know, it's gone. It's here one minute, gone the next. I mean, trying to capture it. That's what it's all about. God isn't a vapor. He's spirit. And the Bible says we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Exhortation and or wealth cannot be the basis of trust. You ever had those people that are, you know, really encouraging to you, but yet they're not. There's something kind of in the background. Or some people have money and they use that money to manipulate you. God doesn't do that. Trust in God. He has true power. Trust in God. He'll take care of you. God is judge and rewards people according to their works. And we have references in Romans 2:6. And 2 Timothy 4:14. Think about that. What are we doing to point people to Christ? You feel like He's not rewarding you? Well, what are you doing to further His name? to bring glory to Him. I'm so thankful for privileges and opportunities to bring God into the picture. You know, if it wasn't for God, I'm nothing. I was reading one of my sister's comments on Facebook. She's been coaching a high school team. She coached at Pillsbury in Clearwater for several years, and the Lord changed her calling in life to take care of my grandmother. Well, my grandmother died here in April, and now the Lord opened the door to coach in a public school. And in her little comment this week, one of the girls said, okay, she followed her at the restaurant when they went out to eat. So, okay, I'm ready. Ready for what? I'm ready to follow Him. You know, here's public school, but yet she points them to Christ. And that's what we need to do. And I'm not saying we're doing the job that we should, but we need to work at it. Continue to strive to do it. We cannot trust in ourselves or man. Trust in God. He's our rock, our salvation, our defense. If you look at that in verse 2, it's repeated again in verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And in verse 2, I shall not be greatly moved. The admonitions, verse 11 and 12. God has spoken once, twice I have heard it. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O God, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his works. Help me to wait patiently for you. Look at verse 3. Oop, I'm sorry, turned the wrong page. Verse 3. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. And when I think of that leaning wall and a tottering fence, I'm thinking about that time when we're weak, that we need to rely upon Him. And then another song popped in my head. One of my favorite songs. My grandpa used to sing it. Learning to lean. The joy I can't explain fills my heart. Since the day I made Jesus my King, His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching and I'm learning to lean. Verse 2, there's glorious victory each day now for me since I found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task if only I ask. Every day now I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Are we leaning on Him? Are we trying to do it on our own? Teach me to trust You and be discerning in regards to people's words. Be discerning. Give me unshakable calm in the midst of trials. That anxiety can go away if we trust in Him. Calmness of soul comes from trusting in God. And I took this off of I got the newsletter from Rick Mikisch this week. You probably did too, maybe if you're on the emails. But it's in your bulletin. He's got this verse and I thought it was great to go with this lesson this morning. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. It's a reminder to pray for our missionaries. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our church. Pray for our church family. Pray for our missionaries. Thoughts here on Psalm 62. Yeah, Eric. No, you go right ahead. It's great.
Comment about the people that you made that you're just a, what did you say, just a mist?
Just a vapor, a breath, yep.
I think that's important to clarify that in the context of all of Scripture.
Sure.
Because that kind of idea that man is so insignificant as that is significant.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Yep. And so if you look at the context there in verse 9, surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighted in the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. So those men that are evil, those men that are against us, they may speak lies, but it's just nothing. It's empty. So, but yeah, it's good. Yep, Grant.
I think, I guess what he's getting at here a little bit is, regardless of status,
we think of each breath as being insignificant in the span of your life. As far as But each breath is not insignificant.
It's vital, yeah. It's
sustaining.
Yep. Yeah. Well, amen. Aren't you glad for God's Word, how it builds on each other? And that's kind of what I was looking at when I was studying this week. I said, we're going to be heading right into this with Ecclesiastes. So, other thoughts? Other thoughts here in Psalm 62. All right, Psalm 108. Psalm 108. I have the key verses, verse 13. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Valiantly. We will do valiantly through God. This is a double duty psalm. The psalm is really kind of a repetition of Psalm 57 and Psalm 60. Psalm 57 verses 7 through 11 start the psalm, and Psalm 60 verses 5 through 12 actually are the last part of the psalm. So I don't know if you can see it or not, but I actually had a copy made here of the differences between the two psalms. The highlight or the colors in red are the actual differences as far as the wording, and the highlights in blue are actually translational differences. And if you'll notice, most of it's black. You know, most of it's word for word. But here in Psalm 108, my soul is steadfast, O God. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. I will sing praise and give glory. Then awake, harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn, and so on. If you'll notice here, Repetition. Why does God, or why did David here, repeat these two psalms? Well, why do we repeat anything? To add significance. They're important. So if you look here, it starts off, O God. Verse 3, I will praise you, O Lord. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, and your glory. Verse 7, God has spoken. So here in this first half, it's speaking of God, desiring Him. And I like the section here in verses 7 through 9, kind of speaking of the victory. God has spoken of His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, the measure of the valley of Sycah. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe, over Philistia I will triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? We need to depend upon Him. It finishes off, give us help from trouble. Give us the help of men. For the help of men is useless. Through God we will do valiantly. We'll be triumphant. For it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Psalm 108. Sing praises to Him. Your mercy and steadfast love is great. The Lord answers our prayers. And then teach me to trust You rather than men. A believer controlled by confident faith is a singing saint. Do you ever catch yourself singing? I do it all the time. Catch myself singing. What am I singing about? You know, I know some secular songs, but I'm telling you, 99% of the time I'm singing a gospel song. Our praise makes an impact. Our praise makes an impact. Are you known as a person that praises God? We don't know where, we don't know to what extent. But are we known as a person who praises God? Because it is going to impact people. It is going to cause a change in their thinking. Are we a praising people? God gives us the victory in difficult and dangerous circumstances. He's the victor. We can't depend upon ourselves. Thoughts here on 108. Psalm 108. We need to be a praising people. Praise Him for what He's done. I was encouraged this week again, and I get encouraged by a lot of things as I'm studying here. But having a journal and writing things about what God has done in my life. You know, the works of God, the praises of God, thanking Him for what He's done. You ever sit down, and I've got another slide here. I don't know, I'm not sure where in the study. I've been doing a lot of studying. But you ever sit down and pray and just don't know what to pray about? Start praising Him for what He's done. Do you have a hard time remembering? Start writing them down. Thoughts here on Psalm 108. All right. Psalm 118. This is where we'll finish up this week. Next week we'll have class, and then the following week, Chocolate Fountain Week. Sorry, folks. We won't have class that week. I'll be thinking of you. Just remember, I'll wipe the chocolate off my face. All right. That's a great time. I love Chocolate Fountain. Time to get together in fellowship. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. He's on our side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Psalm 118:22. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And Psalm 118:29, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. When I think about this psalm, and there are other psalms that are kind of like this, but I think of it as the enduring psalm. Mercy endures forever. Look at it. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 2, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 3, His mercy endures forever. Verse 4, His mercy endures forever. Forever is a long time. Forever is a long time. His mercy endures forever. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. To God be the glory. You know, I keep thinking of songs. I don't know about you. I do. They keep going through my head. Now, the Egyptian Hallel is to celebrate Passover. You remember that during Passover, when they put the blood on the doorposts and the death angel passed over? Well, the children of Israel celebrate that every year. Now, think about that. In celebrating that, they recite the Psalms. This is one of the Psalms they recite. Psalm 118 gives thanks for God's deliverance. He saved His people from disaster and their king from death. God has made a new day. He has delivered His people because of His steadfast love. Since God has brought deliverance, this is the day He made. The people engage in self-exhortation. Let us rejoice in it. This is His day. Let's rejoice in it. So I'm just astounded when I think about and when I study all the things that the Jewish people celebrate here and thinking about what the Lord has brought them through. They have great things to celebrate. And they do it every single year. So let's look at it. Psalm 118:22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, I kind of parked on that this week a little bit because, you know, we're at Cornerstone Baptist Church. You know, I got to park on something here. So I parked on Cornerstone and did some study here. You know, and it pointed me to Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now think about this, the cornerstone. You know, if you do your study, you know, the cornerstone, that's that stone that's the most important stone for any building because that's what everything else is built upon. And yet it says, he has become the chief cornerstone. But he was the rejected stone, the stone that was rejected by the builders. How can a stone that was rejected by the builders become a chief cornerstone? And then I look at Psalm 53, I said, here he was. He grew up. He had no form or comeliness. He had no beauty that anyone would desire him. He was despised and rejected of men. Thinking of Jesus Christ himself. But yet, in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Lord will use him. And I may have got, no, I've got right here. So in Psalm 118, we have several verses here that are also recited in the New Testament. Verses 22 and 23, and verse 23, if you look at the chart here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1 Peter, and Ephesians all speak of the cornerstone. All speak of the cornerstone being rejected and yet being used. Verses 25 and 26, if you look at that, this is, now, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, now send your prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Blessed is he. Our salvation is God's work, is in God's work alone. His steadfast love is everlasting. Help me to trust you more. Help me to tell of your works as long as I live. Now think about that. Our salvation is in God alone. His love, His mercy is everlasting. Help me to trust Him. Tell of His works. We just had a list of things to tell Him about. He saved us. He loves us. He's merciful. We need to trust Him. We got a lot to tell people about. You are my God. I will give praise and thanks to you. Thanksgiving is to be thanksgiving. The Christian life. How are we living it? So look at the psalm here. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. Verse 7, the Lord is for me. Verse 8, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And then starting at verse 10, all nations surround me, but the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They have surrounded me, yes, they have surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They have surrounded me like bees, they were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. The Lord's there for us. You know, and I looked at that fire of thorns, and in my study, it's like you're burning thorns, you know, a thorn bush. And remind me of burning a pine tree. You know, if you're your Christmas tree, you know? Have you ever done that? Burn your Christmas tree? How long does it take to burn a Christmas tree when it's all dried up? I mean, it just goes. And there's nothing left. And that's kind of what it's talking about here when we need to put our confidence in the Lord and our trust in the Lord. All the nations surround me. They want to destroy me. They surround me like bees. But they're quenched like the fire of thorns. They're burned up like that. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord helped me. And then verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. You know, I'm so thrilled and excited about, as I read these, the words salvation, shield, strength, rock, defense. You know, on and on these words keep going through my mind as I read them. It's Him. It's Him who I need to trust in. Verse 16 or 15 and 16, the voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tents of righteousness. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. There's that valiantly again. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 21, I will praise you for you have answered me and become my salvation. And then it finishes up with glory, honor, and praise, verse 25 through 29. Save me, I pray you, O Lord. O Lord, I pray now. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Lord, God is the Lord. He has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords and the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And the last one, for His mercy endures forever. Thoughts on Psalm 118.
I think this is probably the most messianic. Right.
Amen. Yep.
And when he was here last fall, he preached on Psalm 118. And one of his comments was that the book of Psalms, he considered the most mission-minded book in the Bible because it speaks to all the nations. And Psalm 118, of course, would be a great example.
Right, exactly.
He preached out of it. So when I think of that, go through this Psalm, and I believe this Psalm was supposed to be sung by the Jews
right
upon Messiah's coming. And so when you get to verse 28, in some ways, to me, probably because of the mission mindedness that Seth brought when he preached out of this, it applies to everybody. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you.
Yep.
So that was just a neat thought that came to mind with him.
Amen. And that's another encouragement to keep praying for our missionaries. So, yeah. Think that so many different people wrote the Word of God, but yet how the Word of God just entwines. You know, it just thrills me, you know. And with pastors speaking on Ecclesiastes, you know, now it's just like, amen, give me more. You know, I just want to soak it in. So, any other thoughts? All right, let's bow for prayer and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for a time of worship. Thank you for your word. Praise you, Lord, for being my God. Thank you for the Psalms, Lord. Thank you for being our cornerstone. Thank you for sending us salvation. Just pray that you'll bless us now. Be with our time of worship together. Help us sing praise to you as we open your word and study it. Touch our hearts, touch our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.